אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדבר
חיים.
Okay, so fun topic today. Here's the plan. We have 4 Q&As of things that are interesting to me of Chabad customs or halachot which seem to contradict with the Shulchan Aruch, and how do we make sense of that? Sounds good? And obviously we will judge them favorably on this holy day of Yad Kislev and always try to understand what's a deeper pshat. The first is, we'll start with an easy one. Yad Kislev, do we say Tachanin or not on this holy day? So what did I write to do? You guys say Tachanin? You did. I figured as much. That's okay. They say Tachanin on other days, and it's almost yard size. And Rabbi Nachman's yard size, so it's okay. Cook. But as you probably could guess, Chabadnikim.
Wait, they say no. Say Tachanin, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman's yard size usually. It's Cholmoy, so you wouldn't.
Ah, you're right. Nachman. Rabbi Nachman works it out first. I take it back. But in any case, so Chabadnikim, as you can guess, don't say Tachanin on Yad Kislev. In fact, the Mitzvah Rebbe writes that even the day before Tachanun, Yad Kislev is so holy that you don't say Tachanun. And I wonder if the day afterwards, like Chav, because we know that many Hasidim celebrate even tonight Yad Kislev, even though it's not Yad Kislev anymore, it's Chav Kislev, but it's like the energy still goes. So I wonder if tomorrow there's Tachanun. You can ask your local Chabadnik, I'm not sure. So what's the deal with that? So we know there's a long-standing custom amongst Chassidim that on a holy day, on a special day, that a special light comes out, you don't say Tachanun. And this is the minog by many Chassidic Rebbes. So it's not surprising that in Yad Kislev, even though it's not a yard site of the Alter Rebbe, but who is it the yard site of, actually?
Rav
Dover, the Magid Mezer. So he's the second founder of Chabad, so it is his yard site. And Shiloh, it looks like bread to me. I would, but you could ask.
I think it's like a classic Rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Mizoros.
Good Shiloh. In any case, so we know that Yad Kislev is a very holy day when, according to Chabadnikim, you can daven for everything. It's like a mini Yom Kippur energy. You can go free from your prisons. And it's chus of the fact that the Alter Rebbe went free from his prison and that the gates of Torah were allowed to spread to the world in a strong way. And therefore, it's not that shocking or surprising that you would not say Tachanun on this very special day. It's a day to make chachlotas, to learn more Torah in Nigla, in Nistar, in hidden ways, in revealed ways, and to really take advantage of the special energy of the day. Sounds good? Now, what about if you're a guy like me, who's not a Chabadnik? I don't necessarily follow Chabad customs, but you do. But I do, you know, learn Chabad Chassidus. I do try to learn Alter Rebbe. I consider him one of my Rebbes. So what do I do? Do I say Tachanun or do I not say Tachanun? So guess how I actually wasn't sure what to do. I went to the Kohisel. And I went to a minion that Hashem sent me to a minion of a chassan. There was no tachanun anyway. So your mamish got me out of the shayla. The answer probably would be it depends how much of a chassid I consider myself. If I truly consider myself a chassid of Chabad, I would not say tachanun. If I'm like in between chassid, so then I probably should. You know, it depends how much you are in. But Hashem solved my problem. So I didn't have any existential crises. Right here. Good. Let's go to a little bit more controversial topic. Eating third meal with bread. Okay? Maybe you guys know, maybe you don't know. What's the halacha about washing at third meal? What is the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Kari Karo Pastkin?
Washing? Isn't there bread at every meal?
Indeed. For Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch Pastkin, that you have an obligation to wash. And I wouldn't call it chovah to the same extent as a Friday night or a lunch meal, but you should wash. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's a very big thing to wash and have a meal at third meal. It's a big mitzvah. Some even say kiddush. Mishnah Berurah brings down that's a custom, astringency, but it's a real thing to wash. However, he does note that if you're not hungry, right, during these long winters, you're totally stuffed. You don't have to wash. You can have mezonos. And if you don't want to eat mezonos, you can have fruit. That's what he says. And if you're totally stuffed, you can't even have fruit, he says, fine, then you're putter, you're exempt. But you should try to avoid that and try not to eat too much at lunch so that you'll have an appetite for a third meal. We good? Comes Chabad Hasidim. And you guys may not know, but Chabad is a custom that I generally saw not to wash and eat bread at third meal. So I always had the shaila, how could it be Chabadnikim would do something which seems to contradict the Shulchan Aruch accepted by all of Am Yisrael? And in general, Chabadnikim are very strict according to halakha. How could they do such a thing? You hear the shaila? Actually, this, just a month ago, I was in Brooklyn, and for the first time in my life, I went to 770, the headquarters of Chabad. And I got pulled over immediately. They recognized me as an outsider right away. And this guy pulled me in, a little fear about me. And I said, wait a second, I have a shayla. And I asked him the shayla. How does Chabad not wash a third meal? So he said, don't worry about it. The Lubavitcher Rebbe actually has a mimer on this exact topic. Okay? So we learned the mimer together. So I'll tell you the basic answer the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. First of all, you are supposed to eat, according to Lubavitcher custom, according to Lubavitcher Rebbe. Just their custom is to have it on fruit. So they don't totally skip the meal, they just have it on fruit. Right? Why? Because they say that the energy of the third meal is so holy, it's like Yom Kippur, it's like in the Holy of Holies, and therefore to eat like a big bready meal would take away, you know, once you eat bread, you get dreads and you eat a lot, right? You're going to bench, you might as well make it worth it. And therefore, they feel like the lechadchila, the evidence of the Shulchan Aruch is really lechadchila, eat a little fruits and sing and focus on the ruchnias of Shalosh Shedis. To be honest, I would love to use that leniency. I have to ask a rabbi if I'm enough of a Chabadnik, because I don't really like eating so much during the third meal. I'd rather like sing. Often I'm usually hosting the meal, so I end up washing, but I think you probably could rely upon that Rabbi Shrebi if you really didn't want to eat wash. Cool? But again, they're not totally disregarding the Shalosh Shedis, they're just relying upon a little bit more leniency. Okay. Question number 3 of 4. Going more and more controversial. And that is sleeping in a sukkah. According to the Gemara, according to the Shulchan Aruch, nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, is one halakhically obligated to sleep in a sukkah today? You guys learn the sukkah? The answer is yes. You do. You are. You live in a sukkah. It's supposed to be like your house. You live in it. You're supposed to eat and you're supposed to sleep in a sukkah as long as the weather is nice. Okay, like in Eretz Yisrael. And if Chassidim actually sometimes will even eat when it's not nice because they just want to be in the sukkah so much. And Chabad in general is very strict. They only eat in the sukkah. No snacks outside the sukkah. And yet, shockingly enough, Chabadnikim don't sleep in the sukkah for the most part. So how could it be that they're doing something mamash mafurish against the Shulchan Aruch? It's very good.
They're eating in the sukkah when it's raining.
I know, like the helikopter. Mamash, it doesn't make any sense. We have to make sense of it. So how could it be that Chabadnikim is so holy, right? We got to come up with an answer. Why are they not sleeping in the sukkah? Any ideas? What do you guys think? It can't be they don't care. They definitely care. They care about everything. But how could it be? Oh, so the Ramah brings in that there are, if it's a man and woman sleeping together, there's a problem of modesty. And if you're uncomfortable, then everyone agrees you're exempt. But that's everyone. That's not just Chabad. But let's say you're single, alright, the Bachar. So it goes back to the Mitl Rebbe, and the story goes that he felt the Shechina, God's presence, so powerfully in the sukkah that he couldn't sleep there. He said, like Yaakov Avinu, Manorah Makom, how awesome, how special is this place? Like, Enzi came back to live, this is the house of God, and he wouldn't sleep in the sukkah. But what? Okay, good. So if you're a Rebbe that feels God's presence and you're uncomfortable, so therefore you're exempt, because, you know, you're exempt from anything uncomfortable. What about a chassid who doesn't feel uncomfortable in the sukkah? But he's uncomfortable doing something that his Rebbe would tell him not to do. Rebbe would say, the Shekhinah is here. How can you sleep here? It's disrespectful. Okay, so you like it, don't like it. That's Chabad's explanation as to why they don't sleep in the sukkah. Okay, final sugya. This, as you guys know, is not just a Chabad question, but a general Hasidic question. Zman tefillah. What's the deal with Chabad and other minyanim davening at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, way after Zman Tefillah? We're all aware of the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Brura. It's very, very clear you have to daven within the Zman. So much so that I've been in situations when I'm leading a minyan and I have to stop because they're going to miss Zman Tefillah. And I have to say, I'm sorry, I can't be the chazanir. Because there's a Zman, and you can't ditch it. And yet, there are, chassidim and non-chassidim who clearly don't do this. Their minions would start at 10 a.m. in one seat. It's very... How could it be that they disregard a mefurish Shulchan Aruch? How do we make sense of this? Any ideas? Okay. Yeah.
So you could say Kriya Shema, like at home, like everybody says Kriya Shema. Like a minion of 10,
it's
necessarily going to miss
the mantra. But sometimes it is. Like, sometimes it's definitely going to miss the mantra. It may still go past it.
This is only on Shabbos?
No, all the time. No, I'm not saying they all do that. I'm just saying you do see that sometimes specific minions go much later. How do we make sense of that? So, I there are many explanations. I found three explanations. One, the Trinavadab, something like that, says, look, we see the minhag is for people to do it. It must be. There's a reason, or else it would have seen a very glorious, very would have seen them go off the derech more, and yet we see Hasidim even more connected to mitzvahs. There must be an explanation. It's not such a satisfying explanation to me, but okay. Another explanation I heard, and I've seen this in several Svarim, Vinay Sachar talks about it, that really the heter is only for tzaddikim. And tzaddikim are mamish oisek with the tefillah all the time, which means they're putter from davening, which means they're only davening midin nedava. So since it's just a voluntary prayer, they can do it after davening. Okay? A similar excuse, so to speak, I've heard is that by the rimen of her, I wouldn't say an excuse, an answer, is that tzaddikim are above zman because they weren't affected by the sin in the Eitz HaChaim. In the Eitz HaDaat, they didn't taste the sin, and therefore they'll be above time, and therefore they can daven above zman. Okay? I don't know. It's a good shot. No, I'm just, it's an answer. Another answer I heard maybe is that I'm trying to remember. Oh, it's the chon of the tefillah is part of the tefillah itself. So since they're preparing for tefillah, it's like they're actually davening. Like with this case of Bilam, who started the cursing of the Jewish people, and it was like they actually cursed them. So if you start preparing for davening before the Zman, it counts like you actually davening. Lamaisa, again, for most rabbis, even Hasidic rabbis, like the Dinavar, and the Mishnah Brura speak very strongly against this practice and say you have to daven in Zman Tefillah. The Mishnah Brura, right, has a whole mimer about how it's like you're giving fake money to Hashem. It's like it might be beautiful money, but it's fake. It's not it doesn't count. So Misnagin or even regular rabbis don't really support this, and I wouldn't necessarily say it unless you guys would do it. But if you do come from a Hasidic tradition, and this is your tradition, I would say the following point. Just like there's a Shulchan Aruch, which most of the time we follow. So Hasidim have their rabbis, Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya. It was a posek, a huge posek. And it's permitted within halacha for you to follow your posek, even if in 0.1% of the time he's cholek on what other great rabbis say. So even if it's a little hard for us to understand, I think that is within the halachic system for them to follow their Rebbe. And we should always judge people l'chad zchut and learn from each other. And I hope this was fun for you guys. Bezrat Hashem. And have a beautiful Yad Kislev. Hashem should open up the gates of Tefillah and Torah and Chassidus and open up our souls in a whole new way. Wow, shkoyach, guys.